And we're going to listen to John's account of that incredible day when the empty tomb was found.
John's Gospel, chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped round Jesus's head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To God.
I'll give the musicians a chance to go and find some seats. And while I'm doing that, can you all make sure that you have got access to a Bible? It would be rather helpful if you do this morning, because we're going to be having a bit of a look at it. And it'd be helpful if, first of all, you turned to John chapter 20, that reading that we had earlier in the service, on page 1089. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Andy. I'm the chaplain at Oswestry School, and it's holiday time at the moment, but the vicar has got me out of my holiday mode for this morning. Now, hopefully you've got John chapter 20 in front of you. From the youngest to the eldest, that would be most helpful. And before we have a look at it, I just want you, cast your eyes down to verse 9. Verse 9, because as we see John come to the tomb, we believe it's John, the disciple that Jesus loved, there's a little bit in brackets. Because Peter and John still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd heard his teaching. They'd listened to his stories. But even then, they still didn't understand that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So I'm going to pray a prayer, because I think we're a bit like that. I think we can struggle to understand at times. And this is a prayer that we pray with our children, so our children should know it very well. Every time we pick up the Bible together, we pray this prayer. Because on our own, we struggle to understand what the Bible says. So I'm going to say it line by line, and I hope that you'll all repeat it in a loud voice after me. It basically asks God to help us as we look at the Bible together. So here we go. Why don't we pray together? I hope you're ready to echo in a nice, loud voice. Dear God. That's good. Thank you for the Bible. Please help us to know you better as we read it. Amen. There you go. Now, hopefully, as we have a look at the Bible this morning, God will answer that prayer for us and help us to know him better. So, Peter and John go to the tomb. They see that Jesus wasn't there, along with Mary. We don't get that chance. But John, in verse 9 of that chapter, gives us a hint that we don't actually have to be there to see the empty tomb for ourselves. We can understand why Jesus rose just by looking at the Bible. And that's what we're going to do this morning. That's why I've asked you to grab hold of one. But before we do that, I think we should have a quick recap of that little story that was read to us. Now, I need some volunteers for this. Any willing volunteers? Come on, up you come, all of you. Okay, anybody put their hands up who wants to be a volunteer? And we're just going to recap that little story together. Come on, youngsters. This is a chance for you. Have you ever run in church before? I don't think there's a passage in the Bible that has as much running as this passage. Okay, should we walk through? Well, walk or run through. Now, the tomb is here. Okay, who goes to the tomb first, according to the passage that we read? Who's first? Mary. So I think we all need to go up here and pretend to be Mary. Okay. And how does Mary get to the tomb that first morning? What does she do? What do we think she does? Hop, skip, jump?
Runs in.
Well, we're going to have a bit of running later, but I think the first thing, it's dark. I think she probably walks in. So lead us off. We're crying. If you were here yesterday with Tim, he got the vicar doing a very good crying impression. She might have been crying. Jesus, her saviour, the one that she had healed her, is no longer there. She gets to the tomb. There's nothing there. Now, what does Mary do? Who can tell me what Mary does? Run to Jesus' disciples. The disciples back there, get running. Get running. Now, see if you can pick up some disciples. See if you can pick up some disciples back there. And what do the disciples then do? What do Peter and John do? Run back. Back you come. Back you come. Run back. You must be Peter. No, you must be John. John gets there first. But you were Peter. Peter actually goes in, doesn't he? Peter goes in you go. And then John goes in you go. And they look, and we're told that John believes, sees, and believes. But he still doesn't understand. Well, what happens next? They then head back to where they were staying. So you might want to head back to where you were staying. Mary stays and has an encounter with the risen Jesus. Brilliant, you lot. Right, you can go and sit yourselves down just for the time being. So, that's our little recap of what happens. Good running. You won't often get the chance to run in church, so I'm glad you made the most of it. Now, we've not got an empty tomb to investigate. We've just got a table here. It's not an empty tomb. But I do have five friends here who I think can help us as we try to understand why Jesus had to rise from the dead. Now, first up is my friend Slither. Slither the snake. He was given all sorts of different names this morning, but he's my friend, my pet snake Slither. Do you all like Slither? No? Who's a snake fan? No, one or two. So we've got Slither, my pet snake Slither. Now, this is my friend Wally. Wally the worm. His eyes have gone funny. In fact, he's lost his eyes in the bag. Poor Wally. He's a cycloptic worm now. So this is my friend Wally the worm. Who else have I got? This is Wilf. Say hello, Wilf. Wilf, my wolf. Okay. Who else have we got in here? Oh, Larry, my little pet lamb. Oh, isn't it lovely seeing lambs in the field at this time of day, this time of year? So there's Larry. And finally, this is my friend Sharky. Oh, Sharky, you've eaten one of Wally's eyes. Let's give Wally his eye back. There we go. Now, Sharky is also known as Big Fish. I haven't got a big fish at home. Sharky is the best that I've got. Sharky's a very nice fish, as we'll find out later. Now, here's a challenge for you. Each of my five friends actually can help us understand why Jesus rose from the dead. Now, we're going to talk to each one of them in turn. But who thinks they can tell me which order they think we should speak to them? Any guesses? Who should we go with first? Who wants to put their hand up? Who should we talk to first? Yes. The snake. I think that's a very good idea. You've got the first one spot on. We'll start with the snake. Who thinks they know what the second one should be? Yep. Sharky, no, Sharky's not going to come second. Sharky, Big Fish. Yeah, you want to think that, those of you who know your Old Testaments. Yes? Pardon? The worm, he doesn't come second. Come on, how good are we with our Old Testaments, adults? Yes? The wolf, no, that leaves one, doesn't it? We've tried them all. So who's going to tell me which one comes next? The lamb. Larry, my little lamb. Here we go. Lovely little Larry. Now, we're left with three. Okay, any adults beginning to piece together where we're going with this? Who's next? Phoebe, who do you think's next? The worm. I just need to check. It is the worm. You're quite right. It is the worm. We're coming to the worm next. So that just leaves us two. Who? Any guesses for which order the wolf and Sharky come in? Let's go. It's all the same hands. No, over there. Which one? Wolf. Wrong guess. Nearly. We'll go Sharky and then the wolf. Right. Now, this is where you might want to lick your fingers. Because we're going to be going through your Bibles at a rate of knots in the next 10 minutes or so. You want to turn. We're going to start with Slither. I would encourage you to turn to page 5 in your Bibles. Each of these 5, as we talk to them, and as we find something out about their distant ancestors and distant relatives, each of them is going to give us a little bit of an understanding of why Jesus had to suffer, die, and rise again. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 on page 5. Slither, that's where you want us to look, isn't it? That's absolutely right. Have we got that? Genesis chapter 3. Look up when you found it, then I know that you're all with me and haven't fallen asleep. You can tell I'm a teacher, can't you? Right. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We read this. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. The snake takes us right back to the beginning of the Bible. Not the very beginning, the beginning of where everything starts to go wrong. God punishes. This little section comes when God is punishing Adam and Eve for disobeying him, for ignoring his command and listening to the crafty serpent. And the snake, in God's punishment, is told that someone would come along and crush your head, Slither, or your ancestor's head. Someone who would deal with sin once and for all. We've already sung about our sinful hearts this morning. And right back at the beginning of where things go wrong, God tells us that someone is going to come along to deal with that problem once and for all. But we're told that the snake won't go down without a fight, will he? He'll be crushed, but not before he strikes his crusher. It's God telling us that one day the cause of our pain and misery will be beaten. It's the first glimpse that we have in the Bible of Jesus and the cross. Slither, it doesn't look good for your ancestor, does it? No. All right, who's going to look after Slither for me? I think the girls on the front row would rather enjoy looking after Slither. So there's Slither, slithering off. Right, what's next? Lamb. Now, this is Exodus chapter 12 for the lamb. Page 68. Page 68. So, Larry, let's find out a little bit about your distant cousins. Exodus chapter 12, page 68, and we're looking at verses 4, 3, and then we're going to jump to 5 and 6 and 7. So, Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Have we all got it? Children, have you got it as well? Point out to mums and dads. They can be prone to be lazy. Let's all look at this together. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Moses is told by God, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. On to verse 5. The animals that you choose must be year-old males without defect. You may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Who can remember what's happening here? Who can remember what's happening here? Joanna? Passover, brilliant. You might remember the story. God rescuing his people from being slaves in Egypt. Pharaoh's being very stubborn. If you were at Holiday Club a few years ago, would have seen something of that. In every house, we're told something's going to die. In the Egyptian houses, it's the oldest boy. Who's the oldest boy in their family? So there's a few of us who, had we been there, would have been very grateful for Larry's distant cousins, wouldn't we? But in the Israelite homes, it's a perfect lamb that is killed. The blood is painted on the doors. God passes over the Israelites. The Israelites are saved, and Pharaoh lets them go free. And we remembered on Maundy Thursday, Jesus' Last Supper, where he sits with his disciples and shares the Passover meal. And Jesus shows us that he is the true Passover lamb, the one who dies so that we can be saved. Well, thanks, Larry. That's a great thing that your distant cousins did, isn't it? Dying, not that they had much choice in the matter, so that the firstborn Israelite boys could be saved. Jesus shows us that he's that Passover lamb. Right, next up. Wally, how's life in Wormworld? Have you got your eyes back? Here he is. Now, where do you think we're going for this? Any clues? Anybody got any idea where I'm going to take you next? How about the vicar? Does the vicar know? Not Isaiah. No, we've been singing through this. The vicar's cottoned on. Turn to Psalm 22. Turn to Psalm 22. And it's on page 554. 554. Who wants Larry? Who wants to look after Larry? There you go. So, Psalm 22. What do we read? Verse 6. You all got it? Look up so that I can see that you're still with me and not dozed off yet. Psalm 22, page 554, verse 6. We're told, I am a worm and not a man, says the psalmist, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he belongs to him. As we've been singing over the past few weeks, Psalm 22 is full of descriptions that Jesus fulfills as he dies on the cross. He's scorned, he's mocked, he's despised, he's insulted. Verse 1 is one of the last things that Jesus says before he dies. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is forsaken because sin cuts people off from God. You remember Adam and Eve being banished from the garden? Although Jesus never sinned, on the cross he dies for our sin. Jesus ends up being cut off from God so that we never have to be. He's banished from God's presence so that we don't have to. Well, Wally, you might be despised, but to have Jesus likened to you is something that not every creature can lay claim to. Who's going to look after Wally over there? Take care of him. He's feeling rather despised. So, that leaves us with two animals to help us understand why Jesus had to die and rise again. Ah, Sharky. Good old Sharky. Now, where do you think we're going with Sharky? Big fish? Yes? Jonah! Absolutely right. So, where's Jonah? Jonah is page 928. 928. And we're Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. I'm not sure if you'd swallowed Jonah. that it'd have ever come out again. Are we all there? 9 to 8. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Pages still rustling. Good finger exercise, this, isn't it? You thought you'd be able to just sit there and listen. Or sleep. Now, the Lord provided a big fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Later on in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus tells the teachers of the law that Jonah's 3 days in the fish are a sign that he will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And just as the huge fish spat Jonah out after 3 days, so Jesus bursts from the tomb that glorious first Easter morning. Because Jesus was innocent, death couldn't hold him. He couldn't stay banished from God because he was perfect, like the perfect lamb. So he rose to life again, showing us that he had won, that he had crushed the serpent. Death doesn't have to be the end, because by trusting in Jesus, we can be certain of a life after death, a life beyond the grave. That is why Easter Day is such amazing news. It's the most amazing news this planet has ever received. I forget about that one small step for man and a giant leap for mankind. He is risen deals with a fundamental issue that all of us have. All of us are going to face death one day. What is the other side of it? Well, Jesus tells us that by putting our hands into his, he can take us through. Our story doesn't end there. Sharky, that's quite awesome to think that your distant relative swallowed Jonah, spat him out after 3 days to show what the grave would do to Jesus. Well, isn't that just utterly amazing? And I know that Benji wanted his Sharky back. Thank you for the loan. Well, where does that leave us? One last one. My friend Wilf the Wolf. You want Wilf? Do you want to come and grab Wilf? Come up here. Who knows where we're going with Wilf? Paul, shall I try you again?
No, I'm not trying again.
What about Steve? Zechariah or Ezekiel? No, let's try Mark. Don't know. Well, the first reference is in the old. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6, and I'll read through to 10. I haven't given you a page number. Page 697. 697. 697. Our final thumb through the Old Testament scriptures that point us to why Jesus suffered, died, and rose again. Wait till the rustling stops. Here we go. The wolf will live with the lamb. Isaiah 11, verse 6. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Here in Isaiah, we're given the glimpse of the sort of life that Jesus has come to bring. Wolves and lambs living together, lions being led by children. It's a wonderful picture of beauty, harmony, perfection. The perfection that Adam and Eve enjoyed before they disobeyed God. And the goodness and the perfection that awaits us in heaven, where King Jesus rules forever and ever. Here in Isaiah, we're given one of the many pictures of what it will be like to be with Jesus in his perfect kingdom. The words amazing, glorious, awesome only scratch the surface of what it will be like. And you see, as Jesus appears to Mary and then later to the other disciples that first Easter morning, he shows us that the resurrection, our hope of heaven, is real. We're not ghosts, as we saw from Acts 10. We'll have real bodies that can eat, speak, be touched. We may not be able to investigate an empty tomb this Easter morning, but thanks to Wilf, Sharky, Wally, Larry and Slither and their distant relatives, we can understand exactly why Jesus had to suffer and rise from the dead. He dies in our place. He dies cut off from God because of our sin. He rises because death can't hold on to perfection. And it means that for anyone who faces death holding on to Jesus, they will ultimately rise again to experience eternal life in his perfect kingdom. That is why today is such wonderful news. Because our biggest problem, death, being cut off from God, has been dealt with. So, as we turn to some final hymns and prayers, can I encourage you, as earnestly as I can, to turn to Jesus and to hold on to him, as Trevor has told us he's done for the last 64 years. To trust him. To let him be the Lord of our lives. Because only he can take us through the gates of death and into his perfect kingdom, which is beyond anything that any of us could ever dream or imagine. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for those momentous words that first Easter morning, that Jesus is risen, that he's conquered death. We pray that you would help us to open our minds that we might understand why you died, why you suffered, why you rose again, so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be made good, as one of those ancient hymns tells us, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by your precious blood. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to understand and to see this and to turn and to trust in you. No matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.